First John chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse number 3, and we'll read through verse 12. Follow along, please, as we read. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Now, what hope was he talking about? Previous verse talks about Jesus Christ coming back, and that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Look at verse 4. "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the messenger, this message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." Now, Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have the victory through Jesus Christ. "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." And Lord, I pray now that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help us to grow in you to be more like Jesus. I thank you so much for moms and dads, grandparents and children alike that are here tonight. Lord, I don't know what you have in store for our lives, but I pray that something that is said from your precious word would nourish us and help us as we grow in our journey of being more and more like Jesus Christ. In whose wonderful name I pray these things. Amen. When I go and visit the hospitals, that's Pastor Jim already mentioned, you know, that's part of what we do. And at Fish Hospital in Orange City, they have a little place there where that's marked for pastors. And, you know, sometimes it's open, sometimes it's available, sometimes it's not. But when I park there, I have a certain path, you know, that I go as I'm up under the tree and then I head to the front door. Well, there's a curb there, and there's usually a car sitting there. And I don't know why, but for years of visiting the hospital there, for years, I guess it's the boy in me, you know, just never can. I just decided I'm going to walk the curb. And sometimes, you know, like this, and it's kind of embarrassing and don't want to act like, but I'm just checking my balance and making sure I can still do it. Here's what I found out, Brother Richard. I found out that if I focus on the curb, I have a much harder time to stay balanced. If I keep my eyes fixed on where I'm going, it's amazing how balanced I can be. That's just an amazing phenomenon to me, you know, that works that way. Now, I don't know how they train the girls on the balance beam and these kinds of things, because that's just nuts. That's craziness. Flipping and landing on it and all that kind of thing. I'm doing good just to be able to get my number 12s on, you know, stay on it, you know, and keep from falling. But our walk is important. Our walk's important. Whenever we can't walk, we fall. And when we fall, we hurt ourselves. My dear wife was coming in from the rain right before we went out of town. And she was coming in from the rain, and it was we have a threshold with the tile there at the front door. And I was sitting in the family room, and I hear the door open, and here she comes, and then I hear, "Ah!" And boy, I tell you, out from under her, you know, the feet went up, boom, you know, on that hard tile. I did that one time, black ice. At our church in West Virginia, and didn't even know it was ice, and just, you know, it was one of those cartoon type of things, you know, feet out and boom, you know, that kind of thing. Walking doesn't seem like it's all that complicated, but it's necessary. And so I'm going to turn our attention to this thought that your walk talks. Your walk talks. Now, John Maxwell, author and speaker and all this, and he said, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. That's true. So your walk talks, and if we look at this passage here, I do believe I'm going to give you a few little things, and then we'll be done. Five words, if you want to jot down five words that bring a thought to these verses of Scripture. Look at verse 3 and 4. And every man that hath this hope in him, the blessed hope, the earnest expectation, what is coming, and is not, I hope Jesus comes. No, it's he's coming. I hope he's coming today. And if he doesn't come today, I hope he comes tomorrow. But I know one thing, he's coming. You know, that's an earnest expectation. Every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Pure from what? Verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 2:6, we looked at this a few weeks ago. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked, even as Jesus walked. And so here's the first word, that we should seek to have a purifying walk, a purifying walk. Did you see it there in verse 3? Every man that hath his hope in him, the hope of Jesus' return, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Lord, help my walk to be like Jesus would walk. Help my life to be as Jesus would live. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Does that sound familiar? Say, well, how do I bring God's purity into my life? Jesus won the victory on the cross at Calvary. Our redemption was paid for. The penalty for our sin was all taken care of. And he offers us victory over the power of sin. One day we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. But until then, we're in a sinful world. And we're rubbing shoulders with folks that don't care about God. And people often they're even confused on what is sin. And today, it's really, we've gotten to the place, at least in our country, we've gotten to the place that sin is now good, and good is now bad. I'm not going to expound on that, but I don't think I really have to. Galatians 3:24 tells us what sin is. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The Old Testament law, boys and girls, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. The Old Testament points out our need of someone to forgive our sins. Someone to pay for our sins. The bar is so high, we cannot even begin to reach the bar of God's holiness. So verse 4, don't miss verse 4. There's, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. God gave his law, and we can sum up the major headings of the law in what? The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. And then the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, he took the Ten Commandments, and instead of them being an external thing that someone does, he turned the searchlight on the inside, and he said, okay, you think you're really good because you haven't killed anybody? You're not a murderer? If you hate someone, God sees that as murder. And he went down the list of those Ten Commandments in the same way. Sinning against God. You know, Joseph had a good understanding of what that was. In Genesis 39:9, when he was there in the house with Potiphar's wife, and he was alone, and she propositioned him in an overwhelming way, and at a time in his life that everyone would have said, well, he just couldn't help it. It was too much. Here's what he said. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against your husband? Oh, that's not what he said. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against my parents? See, the husband wasn't there. The parents weren't there. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He knew that God was there and God was watching. Moms and dads, boys and girls, God's always watching. And Joseph knew that. And Joseph knew God's law. Now, John is not saying, William Barclay, that this is a great thought here. John's not saying that the man who abides in God cannot sin, but he is saying that the man who abides in God cannot continue to be a consistent and deliberate sinner. Look again in verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin, that word committeth in the original language, the verb tense is a continual process. It's a present tense with a continual thing. Practicing sin, a habit, a lifestyle of sin. You see, someone who is saved, God changes them from within. We're going to look at that in just a moment. I heard a preacher say one time when he got saved that he drank as much as he wanted to, and he cursed as much as he wanted to, and he lied as much as he wanted to. And they said, wow, you've got a great religion. He said, God changed my water. I didn't want to drink anymore. I didn't want to curse anymore. I didn't want to lie anymore. God changed my heart. And that's what takes place. And we'll see that in just a moment. So the thought of a purifying walk. Number two, here's the word, a persistent walk. A persistent walk. Staying at it. Staying at it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Heard a preacher say one time, there are two words that you ought to cut out of your Webster's dictionary. The word can't and the word quit. Christians, just blot them out of your dictionary. The Bible tells us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do. A persistent walk. Look, please, at verse number 5. And you know that Jesus, speaking of, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. And again, you just have to understand that the verb tense is a continual sin, a continual action, a continual lifestyle. Hold your place, if you would, in here, and turn to the left just a little bit to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 5 of Hebrews 12. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Scourgeth every son, the Bible says, whom he receiveth. Boys and girls, don't you hate it when mom and dad say, I love you too much to let you get by with this. You're gonna get a discipline. You're going to get a spanking. You're going to get whatever the code word is, you know. We're going to have a talk. And it's more than talking. Moms and dads, by the way, don't abuse your children. Don't smack them across the face. God gave a wonderfully protected spot on the human anatomy that can endure a lot and send the same kind of message of some discomfort and not harm that child a bit. God made him that way. And that should be, by the way, a last resort, because it's the last resort with the Lord. Look at verse number 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now, if that's the case, then that tells me that when I get out of line as a believer in Christ, as a child of God, That if I'm his child, he's going to chasten me. He's going to call me back. And if I won't listen, then he will step it up. And if necessary, he'll break out the 2x4 and get my attention. That tells me that we are in a journey of struggling to be like Jesus Christ. That tells me that the writer of Hebrews is talking about himself. Evidently, he had not become perfect. Romans 5:20. This is a great verse. In fact, they wrote a song about this verse. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In other words, the Apostle Paul is penning this, and he said, wow, it's absolutely amazing that where sin, let's say that this is sin, that that's a sin. You know what happened? God said, I'll hide your sin behind the payment of Jesus Christ. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, could you imagine what someone would say? Good deal! That's great. We can just do whatever we want and God will take care of it. The next verse, chapter 6 and verse 1. Look at it. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's the strongest no in the Word of God. That's the strongest no in the Bible. God forbid. In other words, absolutely not. So it's not a license to sin, but it's a liberty to serve God without fear that He's going to smack us down. And as we continue to do what God is directing us to do and all that kind of thing, I was listening to a preacher on the radio driving to make visits and things. And this one preacher, he said, you know, if you get on an airplane, one of those big 747s, and you're flying transcontinental. Let's say you're flying from Florida to London. And you got on that plane. And once you're on that plane, you can get up. You can go to the restroom. You can go look for a magazine. You can sit down. If there's some extra seats there, you can spread out. You can watch a little TV show, a little movie. You can sleep. They'll bring you maybe some snacks to eat and all that kind of thing. You can do a lot of things on that plane. But one thing's for sure, that plane's destination is London. Now listen, please. One thing's for sure, a child of God who's born again and blood-bought, whose sins are paid for at Calvary, one thing's for sure, that person is ending up in heaven one day. Now, on the flight, let's behave ourselves. On the flight, let's live like a Christian should live. Let's glorify Jesus Christ. So this thought of a persistent walk. Philippians 3:12 says, not as though I had already attained. Watch this. Either we're already perfect, the Apostle Paul said. He said, I'm not perfect. I haven't made it. If there's probably any person that was probably the greatest Christian who ever lived, I imagine the Apostle Paul is probably right up there. You know, right up there at tippy top of the group of the greatest Christians probably who've ever lived. And he says, toward the end of his life, toward the end of his ministry, right in the church at Philippi, getting ready to lay down his life, he says, I've not yet attained. You know why that is? Because the closer we get to the light and the love of Jesus Christ, the brighter His presence is in our midst, the more little specks of worldliness and the selfishness and pride and all these little things come to light. You ever done that? You ever been cleaning something and then you get into a different light, or you take it outside or whatever, and you see things on it you didn't really see before, and you're cleaning that thing? That's what happens. Okay, so you have it? You've got the what walk? The purifying walk. The persistent walk. Number three. Look at the next few verses. We'll see the parallel walk. Look at verse number 7. Little children, Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Boys and girls, God gave you a special radar. You lose it sometime in the teenage years. Okay? Sometime in the teenage years. But boys and girls and younger teenagers, they have this radar that they can kind of sense when someone really loves them. When someone is really genuine, they just kind of sense it. They did, and it's a wonderful thing. I believe that God gave that. And we talk about mother's intuition. Well, I don't know what you call it in kids, but they can kind of tell. And teenagers can spot someone who's real, someone who's fake. They can. And we need to be walking in parallel step with the Lord Jesus Christ, in parallel with Him, as He would walk. Matthew Henry said this: living the Christian life is not an art, a matter of spiritual aptitude or skill, but a new nature. A new nature. You know, I'd be a better Christian, but I don't have the knack. You know, I just seems like some people are more spiritual than I am. No, we all have the same amount of the Holy Spirit when we get saved. The question is, does the Holy Spirit have the same amount of us? Well, do we allow Him to have monopoly on our life? John 3:3. Here's some great verses. You might want to jot down these references. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. As a Christian, as a believer in Christ, you have a new birth. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We have a new birth, which comes from a new seed. And that is God's Word. God's Word. This is the source of our salvation right here. This is how we know about God's plan of salvation. How then shall they call on Him of whom they have not heard? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Okay? So God's holy word, and so when you're talking with someone about the Lord, make sure if you give them a gospel tract that it has the Bible verses in it. Make sure that you can point them to God's precious word, His seed. 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these might be partakers of the divine nature. We have a new birth that comes from a new seed of God's word and a new nature. It's just not in my nature, preacher. No, it may not be, but you've been given a new nature. And you have a choice of which one's going to be in the driver's seat. This morning, we were coming back from Ormond early this morning, making a hospital visit, and stopped, and I got Hope. We got some breakfast and things. And I said, honey, are you doing okay? And she said, yeah, I'm doing fine. I said, you want to drive? And she said, sure. And boy, I clocked out for about 15, 20 minutes coming down I-4. I just let her take over. Okay? I trusted her. She's a better driver than I am. I said it publicly. How about that? I said it publicly. She's a safer driver than I am. I'll definitely say that. And she hasn't had any wrecks. So there you go, you know. But anyhow, I turn over the driving to someone else. I sit back and I trust that. Listen, we have two natures, an old nature, a new nature. Mark nature, Wade nature, and the nature of Jesus Christ. So John has a decision. Okay, today, who's going to be in charge right now? Lord Jesus, I give you permission by your Holy Spirit to live your life through me. I'm asking you now. I die in Christ. I ask you to take control of my body. Fill me with your Spirit. I'm depending upon you. I'm going to make a mess of my life if I'm in charge. You drive. So I'm talking about new nature. a new nature. Now, this is how we have a parallel walk with the Lord. There's way too many things, way too many I's to dot and T's to cross. And what do I do about this? What would Jesus do about this? We just live our life in a whirlwind of confusion. When if we just say, Lord, now, I just want you to take control. And you sense Him saying, this is the way, walk in it. Don't do that. Don't say that. Do this. If you don't experience that, by the way, we cannot coddle sin in our life and have that at the same time. It doesn't work. That grieves the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes over in the corner of our heart, says, well, I can't have fellowship with that. And the Holy Spirit will be back So our new nature, that's what gives us that parallel walk. Colossians 3:10, a new man, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Now, almost done. The permanent walk. We've looked at the purifying walk, the parallel walk, a persistent walk, and now a permanent walk. Look, please, with me at verse number 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. The outward show, the permanent walk, the things that you say, the things that you do for the Lord or for self, those are permanent. You cannot pull them back. We might wish that we can go to someone and we can say, I'm sorry, but they're done. But I'll tell you what else is done. What else is done is the payment for our salvation. That is done. Romans 8:33-34. Look at these two verses. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We are walking with God down here, but listen, folks, we're going to walk with God in a very present and real way for eternity, permanently. It's a permanent walk. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I've given you four words. A purifying walk. A parallel walk with the Lord Jesus. A persistent walk that you're not going to quit, not going to give up. Now, there are times that we stub our toe. There are times that we scrape our noses. There are times that we're embarrassed at what we've done. We bring it to the cross, bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ, confess it as sin, restore the fellowship with our Savior, and go on. A persistent walk. A permanent walk. And then last, a passionate walk. A passionate walk. Look at this, and you'll see it in the following verses. Verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That we should love one another. I'm going to read the next verse in just a moment, but one of Pastor Jim's favorite verses of all time. Jude, verse 22. Jude 1:22. But of some have compassion, making a difference. Compassion. With passion. That's what the word means. With passion. That you feel something. This world is full of drones, you know. This world is full of people just going through the motions. Enthusiasm. The word means, literally, it comes from en theos. En theos is God. In God. If someone has enthusiasm, it comes from the fact that they've been with God. That's a great thing. I didn't make it up. That's what the word literally means. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Jesus said himself, I have come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. Christians of all people have a reason to have a spring in our step, a lilt on our voice, a song in our heart, a whistle on our lips. We have reason for that. We have peace with the Creator of the universe. Everyone's trying to become one with the universe, you know, and they're searching some voice and they don't know that he's already reached out to us, already introduced himself to us. A passionate walk. Ephesians 5:10 says, and walk in love. There it is. Walk in love. Have a passionate walk. As Christ also hath loved us and given us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. It's still there. It's still there. One of our dear ladies over here at the handshaking time. By the way, look for people who are alone. You know, maybe that don't really... maybe it's one of their first times and stuff. And I know we love to find our friends and all that kind of thing. But during the handshake time, keep one eye out for someone who maybe is getting overlooked or maybe is sitting in an, you know. And anyway, I'm not going to point her out, but there's a dear lady here. And I saw her there. I went over and shook hands with her. And she was putting on some lotion. And she saw me coming to shake hands, and so she started doing a little bit, you know, trying to get rid of it, you know, and that kind of thing. And I said, oh, that's all right. You know, I need some of that, and shook hands. And talking with her, and I just waved it in front of my hand, and wow, boy, that smells good. I'm man enough to wear that. You know, that's okay. I'm not worried about it. It does smell real pretty, you know. Reminds me of my mom. Whenever she's here, you know, she squirts some in my hand, you know, and mom, you know, back when you're a teenager and stuff, but a sweet smelling savor. When someone, quote unquote, I don't mean physically rubs up against you, but someone comes across your path, do they sense the love of Jesus just flowing out onto them and just some of that gets on to them too? A sweet-smelling savor, the love of the Lord, a passionate walk. Just loving Jesus so much that everybody else, we love them too. Folks, this is great stuff here in 1 John. How we should walk. Now, if you get pulled over, if you were perhaps not paying attention while you're driving, Brother John, you probably administered these, I reckon. I reckon he has. They just might have you out on the side of the road say, okay, I want you to walk heel to toe. Heel to toe. And just walk. You know, I did that one. I can't even do it now. Had to do that one time. And I don't know, he was just trying to prove something or whatever. I said, no, officer, I've never drunk a beer in my life. I've never, you know, I'm sure he's heard that before, you know. But I wonder if the Lord examines our walk. Knowing that our walk talks, understand this. Other people are examining our walk. And they can't see our heart. They can't see our heart. And James said it this way. He said, you say you have faith, I have works. You prove, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Watch how I walk, and it'll exemplify what's in my heart. We're not saved by our works, but we work because we're saved. Let's bow our heads together, please. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, the most important step to take for any person is to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is just one step. He came all the way from heaven to save you And all you have to do is take one step towards Him, and He'll save you. So, well, what do you mean, preacher? If you will confess that you're a sinner and believe that Jesus died for you on the cross and ask Him to save you tonight, your name will be written down in heaven. And tonight, Jesus Christ will come into your heart and life, and He'll give you an eternal home in heaven. If you would say, preacher, I've never done that. I've never asked Jesus to forgive my sins and save my soul, but I want to do that tonight because God is speaking in my heart about that. If you say, preacher, pray for me. I need to be saved before it's too late. Would you slip your hand up just for a moment and put it right back down? Just so I can see your hand. Anyone? Anyone? I suppose that I'm talking to Christians, and that's a great thing. So then I ask you this question. How's your walk? How's your walk? Does your walk imitate Jesus? Are you in parallel, in time with Him? Does your walk have love and compassion to it? Are you just trying to keep your head above water, just trying to put bread on the table and roof over the head? You're just going to breakneck speed, and you're doing a good job, and you're working hard, but you're missing your purpose for life and for living.